Here we go.
Well, thank you very much for coming back again. Another early morning session. And we had a long day yesterday, packed a lot in, and you know, we worked very hard, and I'm really, really happy to see you back here again. We didn't put you off. This morning, again, we're going to do the pranayama, and just to talk a little bit about pranayama and why I found it useful. It was one of my best, my main practices for a few years. And then when I moved into Buddhism, I realized that it was really useful. You know, the postures keep you fit and keep you comfortable on your cushion, you know, so it is really useful to do that. But the pranayama I found so helpful when I was doing the, when I began to do sadhanas. And as I moved on with the tantra a little bit, I thought, wow, you know, this is really, really a useful method, because, you know, it's all about visualization and working with that subtle body. And here in pranayama, that's exactly what you're doing. You're working with the winds. And I think also just to get familiar with that gives you a great base for tantra practice. Now, it's not for everybody, but the people who do take to pranayama and who want to practice tantra, all I can say is it's going to be really, really helpful. In the Hindu system, it was quite normal to have the physical work, you know, that controlled the body, and then to have the pranayama that controlled the winds, and then to move into withdrawal and concentration and shamatha. So that was their quite sort of steady path. And somehow it's not a focus for us in Tibetan Buddhism until you come, I found very surprisingly, to highest yoga tantra. And there you've got the bars breathing full on, you know, which is holding the breath, simply, you know, holding the breath. And I thought, well, if we'd all been doing a little bit of pranayama along the way, you know, with the other deities, when we come to, you know, these higher practices, just, you know, moving along with your practices, this is really good. This is really useful, because you know, you don't have to do all the groundwork. You've got some control of your breathing, and you're familiar with that subtle body and working with the channels. And so really, I don't think there's any more to say about that, because we're going to go practice, and I want to do a little bit longer today. Before we do our meditation, just to say also, if you want to know a little bit more about the pranayama and the qigong, in the resources page, not the one that you were given for this course, but you know, the general one on the Land of Joy website, then you will find links where I put quite a few bits of material, a few breathing, you know, pranayama exercises, and a little bit about qigong. I will also say about pranayama, it goes off into all sorts of, I've probably said this already, haven't I? All sorts of really wonderful breathing. But the main things I found helpful were just having that full breath, being able to use that, because that gives you an experience of the hollow body. And, you know, when we go into tantra, the more we can drop this hard reality, the faster we move in it, you know, and also it's really makes it more fun and inspires us to keep practicing. So, yeah, links are there with a little bit more information. And so I think now we'll go lay down, and hopefully you won't fall asleep again, and just get a nice comfortable position, flat on the floor, and we'll start. So it's important that your position is relaxed. So if you need any cushions to support yourself, just now's the time to get, you know, your neck and your low back really comfortable.
So you're just sinking into the floor. And lengthen the back of your neck slightly. Just touch the chin towards the chest, not too much. Just flattens out the spine. If you can, you know, just flatten out the low spine, maybe bend the knees a little bit, and then slide the legs away from you. And let the feet just fall away. And then this morning we're going to do a full sort of tense and relax thing, just about the feeling of the body, the relaxation. So first of all, pull up the toes, the face, tighten the back of the ankles, the back of the legs, and tension up into the thighs. Press the knees down towards the floor and just build up the tension in the lower part of your body. And then when it's almost too much, let it go. And just feel the relaxation, soothing, flowing in, and out of tension.
Sorry to interrupt. Lou, could you speak up, please?
I'm very sorry. Yeah. So, the next part is we tense up inside ourselves, inside the main part of our body. So, we pull up inside from our anal sphincter and keep pulling up right up into the abdomen. Up towards the chest, tightening the buttocks, tightening the whole of the central trunk of the body. And then push the shoulders into the ground and hold that tension. Build it up inside and really have an awareness of that tension. And then let it go. And just feel the body sinking into the floor. Everything relaxing. All the tension dissolving away. And then make a fist with both hands. Tighten that fist. And then push the forearms into the floor, push the upper arms into the floor, and again push the shoulders into the floor, arching the chest, and build up the tension now in the top part of the body, the upper part. Build it up, hold it, and then let go. And the fingers just gently uncurl. Back of the hands sink into the floor. The arms, the shoulders, all sinking, relaxing, and the tension dissolving away. And then finally, we just lift the head a couple of inches from the floor, keeping the neck long, and build up the tension in the upper part of the neck, into the shoulders, and hold that tension. Really look at that tension. This is what we've got going on a lot of the time. And then lower the back of the head gently to the floor. All the tension flowing away. And all that lovely relaxation flows in. And then just roll the head from side to side. Now we just screw up the face, tighten up all around the nose, around the mouth, around the eyes. Tighten up as hard and tight as you can. No one can see you. Just build up the tension in the face. And then let it go. And feel the relaxation and the tension dissolving away. So just resting in that lovely relaxation. Take a mental walk down the body. Being fully aware. And just gently sinking into the ground. So now we've got the body in a really gentle, relaxed state. We're going to now focus on the breath again. And we're going to go through the three parts of the breath. And so at the moment, while I'm talking to you, just rest the mind gently on the breath, going in between, going in and out of the nostrils. Very gentle. And we're going to first breathe into the abdomen and feel like that, you know, we're just blowing a balloon, gently expanding it. And then we'll move into the chest, into the ribcage area, and we'll expand sidewards and backwards to the back, and then up into the shoulders. So like yesterday, we'll just do a few of each part of the breath and then put it all together. We can practice this anytime, sitting on the bus, waiting for in a queue, and especially when we're lying in bed. So it's one of the easiest things to incorporate into your lifestyle. It's really energizing on a physical level. It's just the best thing you can do because this is the real way of breathing. And it's just because of our way of life, we lose this abdominal breathing and breathing into the top of the lungs. So again, just refreshing that focus on the breath. And if you want, it's up to you now. You can place your hands on the abdomen, on the tummy, just to feel if there's some sort of swell. But we're not looking to, you know, burst that balloon. It's just opening up. So in your own time, just breathing into that space and follow the breath. Because that way, you take the mind into the body, on the prana, on the winds. So just breathe into the tummy, open out back and front, and just feel the tummy relax, falling back towards the spine as you're breathing out. Stay with the breath as you go gently in and out, and open out all of the abdomen, back and front. At the end of the exhalation, the abdomen springs back, ready to receive more. Inhalation, lovely prana, opening and softening that space. Refreshing and dissolving.
And then we just relax the breathing back to the normal rhythm. Think about the next part of the breath. We're going to expand, but we're going to expand sideways if we can. Just a little bit. And we think about the accordion opening out, or the wings of a dove opening out. And we also try and breathe into the back of the ribcage as well. So again, just gently place the mind on the breath, at the tip of the nostrils, watching it go in, watching it go out. And then when you're ready, take a deeper breath through the nostrils and start to breathe into that ribcage and open it out. Do a few breaths of the intercostal breathing. And just feel that gentle stretching. Contracting, exhaling. Expanding into the side, expanding into the back, so gently. Open out into that space with your mind as you follow the breath on the wings, prana. And then after your next exhalation, relax the breathing, come back to normal rhythm. And the last part of the breath now is done with as little movement as possible from the chest and abdomen area. And we use our concentration, and this is really when we have to follow the breath and go with it, right up into the top of the lungs, and then expand out into that space underneath the shoulder blades and the collarbone. So just in your own time, resting on the breath, refreshing that focus, and then start to breathe in and follow the breath. As you go into the lungs, try and direct all that prana, that lovely prana energy. Be that energy as you fill out into the space underneath the collarbones. And then back towards the shoulder blade area. And we'll do a few of those breaths. Remembering not to try and breathe too deeply, because with practice, the breath naturally becomes deeper. So the lungs are very delicate, easily damaged if we grasp too hard at deep inhalation and holding breath. So this is just a gentle way to expand into a full breath. Feeling the shoulders just to open out. And then relax the breathing back to the normal rhythm. And we think about that full breath. We think about it like a wave, so that it comes into the abdomen, swelling slightly in the abdomen,
then with enough breath then to direct it into the sides of the rib cage, expanding them, and then taking the end of the breath up towards the top of the lungs and underneath the collarbone area. And then making sure you control the whole breath as it goes out like a wave. So again, resting on the breath going in and out of the nostrils. When you're ready, start to breathe down into the abdomen, opening out the abdomen, up into the ribcage area, spreading that, and then up towards the top of the lungs. And gently controlling the exhalation right the way down to that last little bit of exhalation where the tummy is flat towards the spine and you can squeeze it a little bit, get to a longer exhalation. So just try to do these breaths now with a longer exhalation. This brings relaxation into the body. We have a habit of grasping at everything, and my pranayama teacher said we even grasp at the breath. So we grasp at that in-breath. But here we let go. And we let go by just letting that out, exhalation, be a little bit longer and just relax into it and let the prana go. Just flow with that energy in and out, going with it into that lovely wave movement of a full yoga breath. Being careful not to pull your shoulders up to get that extra little bit of breath. This is where the control comes in and the concentration. And then just relax the breathing and notice the difference as you go into the more shallow, normal breathing that we have when we're in a reclining position. And then when you're ready, if you can just turn over onto your tummy and find a comfortable position, and your neck is comfortable and you've got nice free passage of air. And you try and just maintain that lovely relaxed position, prop yourself up where you need to be, and see if you can just sink into the floor there. Very easy to do in bed, this one. And this is just so we get a feel of breathing into the back, expanding into the back. As I said yesterday, this is your armor plate. And this is what we can soften and expand into. But it takes a little bit more work, you know, because we've had our protection up for a long time. So just stop now, gently following the breath into the lower part of the body and fill out the back of the abdomen and feel the tummy pressing into the floor a little bit, but your focus is to really open up the back of the body and soften it. So we do a few breaths like this. Staying with the breath, opening out. Softening. And now we move up into the rib cage, just staying with the breath gently. And we open out the back of the rib cage. So we try and direct all that lovely prana into that space. Feel the rib cage pushing into the floor, but your concentration, your awareness is into that space at the back of the body and opening out those ribs, which are quite elastic, but as we get older, the muscles in between the ribs, the intercostal muscles, get quite rigid. So health-wise, this is really beneficial, because when those muscles become rigid, it limits the amount of lung capacity we have. And that means we limit the amount of oxygen available to our body. So just enjoying really that lovely prana on the subtle level. Just opening it all out and making it spacious. And then we start to think about the top part of that breath and the last part that we're going to do on the floor now is just take the breath with all our concentration. So we've really got to go there with our mind up to the top of the lungs and under the shoulder blades. So gently focusing, riding on the in-breath, on the winds. Go into the lungs, but then direct all the lovely prana towards the top of the lungs and then out underneath the collarbone. And opening out the shoulder blades. So not much movement in the rib cage or the tummy. Opening out underneath the armpits. Expanding that space. And then just rest the breathing and relax on the floor. Let the breathing come back to its normal rhythm. And just fully, fully relax into the floor. as if the body is just melting away, and you're just in that space of the breathing. Not deep breathing, just gently enjoying the space. And then when you can, if you can roll over and come to a sitting position that's comfortable for you. And I'd like to do some rhythmic breathing with you. So just find a nice, comfortable sitting position, and even if it's on a chair or wherever you are, just making sure that the spine is straight, and you've got a nice free passage of air for your breathing. And we're going to do, remembering that three-part breath, you know, but don't get too technical about it, but use that method to help you do the breathing in quite a controlled way. So what we're going to do is split the breath into four parts, and we're going to breathe in to the count of four, and we're going to hold for a count of two, and then we're going to breathe out to a count of six, you know, again, lengthening that exhalation. And we're going to do three rounds of each of these. We build it up, lengthening the breath, and then bring it back down. So just settling your position. Slightly bringing the chin towards the chest to lengthen the back of the neck. And then again, taking the focus to the tip of the nostrils. And as you breathe in, you count a count of four. Then you hold the breath for 2 seconds. And then breathe out to a count of six. And you hold for a count of three as a space before you breathe in to a count of four. Speed the count up if you're running out of breath, no tension. Count of two and exhale to a count of six. And then just open that space to a count of three before you inhale to a count of four. One more time. Space at the top of the breath, count of two. And breathe out to a count of six. And just hold that space at the bottom of the breath to a count of three. And then just relax the breathing. Or the normal rhythm of breathing. And then we go to the next count. I'll just tell you what it is before we start. And we're going to breathe in to a count of six. And we will hold the breath at the top of the breath for a count of three. And then we'll breathe out to a count of eight.
Yes, 6, 8. And breathe, hold the breath for a count of 4. So it's 6, 3, 8, 4. I'll go through it with you as we're doing it. If you start to run out of breath, you just speed up the count a little bit. With practice, you get used to the lengthening and also the controlling, you know. Yeah, so let's try it. Just settling on the breath. I'm going with the breath into follow the breath into the body. So breathing in to a count of 6. So really have to open out the tummy and the rib cage. Really extend that breath. Count of 6. At the top of the breath, hold for 3. And then exhale to a count of 8. So be very gentle. Make sure you've got enough exhalation. And if you haven't, speed up the count. And then at the bottom of the breath, a count of 4. Space. And then again, breathe in to a count of 6. So expanding the tummy a little bit, the rib cage, up into the top of the lungs, count of 6. Hold for a count of 3. And then exhale to a count of 8. And then in the space at the bottom of the breath, there's a count of 4. Enjoy that space. And then start to breathe in to a count of 6. On the top of the breath, there's another nice space, a count of 3. And then breathing out to a count of 8. And enjoying that space of 4 at the bottom of the breath. And then just rest the breathing. So we can go on with these counts as we get used to this practice. And it's a wonderful way of controlling the breathing. And so we go up in our count and we always come back down. So today we'll just come back down and we'll make a count again of breathing in to 4, holding at the top of the breath to a count of 2, breathing out to a count of 6, and holding at the bottom of the breath for a count of 3. And be aware of those spaces in between the breath. They're really useful. So start off in your own time, gently breathing in, going in with the breath, expanding the body to a count of 4. Space for a count of 2. And then that long exhalation to a count of 6. And another space to a count of 3. And then inhaling to a count of 4. Going with the breath, opening out. Space for a count of 2. Exhaling to a count of 6. And a space to a count of 3. And just one more time. Inhale, count of four. Hold that space for a count of two. And then exhale to a count of six. Enjoy the space for a count of three. And then just relax the breathing and stay in that space. Let the breathing become just shallow, normal rhythm. And now let the mind just go out into that space created by the breathing, not created, put in touch with by the breathing, and just expand into it. There's no barriers. Just wonderfully open, no fears. Any thoughts that arise, just arise and dissolve in that space. You can look at them like a child in wonder, or as if you're just sat at a window, just gently watching all the world go by. They settle. If we don't touch and interact with them, just be aware of them rising, abiding, and falling, dissolving. Just see how easy it is to just let them go, and everything starts to settle. The mind starts to clear. And the sediment of all our thoughts just starts to go to the bottom of the glass, and we get a glimpse of clarity. Openness. Emptiness. Or just labels. Now just drawing the mind back towards the breath, not deeper breaths, but just aware the breathing. We start to draw our focus back in from all that spaciousness, which is endless and amazing. And we get ready to do some prayers to build up that merit, that potential, the causes. So when you're ready, just draw yourself back onto the cushion and we'll look at or morning prayers and meditation. Okay. So we'll start, if that's okay with you, with the refuge prayer. And we'll just do the refuge prayer. And then we'll go on and I'll talk you through the graduated path meditation that Lama Zopa so kindly gave us in our daily meditation. And I do recommend it to you. It doesn't take long, but it's very helpful. Okay. So just settling our minds now, and in that lovely open space that we know and have experienced, let's place our refuge field. Make it as bright as you can using your imagination, just the refuge field that you normally use, however that's set up. It includes the Buddha, obviously. You might place the guru at his heart, or in this case, because we're practicing with His Holiness, we could place His Holiness at the heart of Shakyamuni, and then any other very important to you, you know, deities and lineage masters, teachers, the Dharma, feet of the Buddha, however you place it, but just those elements, and especially the teachers you've met in this lifetime, going right back to your childhood, if you've had people who've really influenced you and, you know, given you a lot of help and good teaching, include them as well as your Buddhist teachers. And then feel an awareness of all sentient beings. Just reach out to that. And imagine that they're all around you, filling space, ready to take refuge alongside you. It's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we have friends there and family around us. We have enemies there. We have strangers. We're all equal. And we all need refuge. So then from your heart, we make the refuge prayer. And we send it out along with all beings to the refuge field. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So feel those prayers going up, out, all directions. And feel that they are received by the refuge field. And their blessings cascade down on every living being. No one is excluded, no being excluded, including yourself. And then we'll do our meditation, which is an analytical meditation rather than a spacious meditation, because we need all these forms. A direct meditation on the graduated path, containing all the important meanings. Essence encompassing all the Buddhas, originator of all the holy Dharma of scripture and realization, principle of all the Aryas, intending virtue, in the glorious holy gurus, I take refuge. So we really feel the presence of our gurus, and especially this weekend, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, because we want to invite him here to be with us, not just above our heads, but in our hearts as well. Because we know that these are our links to Buddha nature, that is in all of us, not separate. And the only way we're going to reveal that nature to ourselves, it's there like the hidden jewel, like a pot of gold underneath the house of a really poor, poor family or poor person. We don't even know it's there. So the only way we're going to really find that pot of gold is through our gurus, because they're the ones we meet in this lifetime. We've met a pure lineage, pure lineages. We've met the Dharma, and the gurus are our way, our path to realize the Dharma. Please, gurus, bless my mind to become Dharma, for Dharma to become the path, and the path to be without obstacles. Until I achieve Buddhahood, please bless me to be like Shono, Nosang, and Taktung Wu. By devoting myself correctly to the virtuous friend with pure thought and action, seeing whatever is done as pure and accomplishing whatever is said and advised. So just think about those words, about the importance of the guru. And if we see him as a Buddha, we'll receive the teachings of a Buddha. If we see him as a bodhisattva, then we'll receive the teachings of a bodhisattva. And if we see him as an ordinary person, then those are the teachings we'll receive of an ordinary person. It's very much up to our mind. Please bless me to see that this greatly meaningful body with freedoms and richnesses is difficult to find and easily perishes. That action and result are so profound, and the suffering of the transmigratory beings is so difficult to bear. So this is really our first steps on the path away from samsara and its suffering, realizing how precious this body is, the freedoms we have, knowing that it can all perish today, and there's no certainty, everything's temporary. We've met the Dharma in this lifetime, the most precious teachings. And that we realize that our actions, it's due to our actions, which are all motivated or under delusion, because we don't really see reality as it is. We just have all these suffering results. You know, So when we really profoundly realize that, we expand that, because this is what's happening to us, to all the other beings, whatever form they're in. They're all going through the same sort of suffering, different ways, but you know, it's the same thing. And we reach out to their suffering and find it unbearable, just as our own suffering is unbearable. And what is the way out of this? Well, for us, we found the Dharma. So we take refuge instead of samsara in the Dharma. Thereby may I take refuge from the depths of my heart in the three rare sublime ones, abandon negative karma and accomplish virtue according to Dharma. In dependence on that, even if I achieve the mere higher rebirth of a deva or a human, I will still have to experience suffering endlessly in samsara because of not having abandoned and being under the control of the disturbing thought obscurations. So here we realize that, okay, we've seen the suffering, our own. We've seen the suffering that is the state of samsara, so all others. But even if we gain liberation, which is individual liberation from samsara, we've still got to stay in this cyclic existence, you know, and we're still under the control of some of the obscurations. These are the ones that are deep down, those imprints. So, therefore, by reflecting well upon the way of cycling in samsara, please bless me to continuously follow day and night the path of the three types of precious trainings, the principal method for becoming free from samsara. So here we're talking about becoming completely free from samsara. Enlightenment. With liberation, we're still in the cycle. You know, when the good, when the virtuous karma runs out, we're back in the cycle. And whether we're a human or rebirth as a deity, a god, you know, you can think of that on a human level, you know, whether we become a pop star in our next life with all the riches and fame, a king or a queen, a powerful person, all those things are temporary and subject to change. So high becomes low, low becomes high. So while ever we're within that samsaric cycle, we're subject to that until we really completely clear all the obscurations, the imprints from the results of our delusional actions. And the way we do that is by starting to train in the ethics, concentration, and meditation, the principal method for becoming free from samsara. independent upon that, even if I achieve mere liberation, since there is no sentient being of the six types who has not been my father and mother, please bless me to turn my mind away from the lower happiness of Nirvana and thinking I must fulfill their purpose. May I generate precious bodhicitta by equalizing and exchanging myself with others and follow the conduct of the conqueror's sons, the six paramitas, and so forth. So here we've achieved some sort of liberation, not complete liberation, but personal liberation. And we realize that there's trillions of sentient beings. It's only one of me. And they're still out there suffering. And not only that, you know, we've been dependent on those beings, life after life in various situations. They've helped us. They've either been our mother, or they've, you know, provided things for us, made things possible. Just, it goes on endlessly. We are not, you know, a separate planet, a separate universe on ourselves. We are completely interdependent with all these beings, and you know, how can we ignore them? They've been so kind to us over and over again, even if we don't see it in this lifetime, in the bigger picture, that's definitely our connection to them. So if I just go off into Nirvana, what happens to them? And then the thought comes, the beginning of that bodhicitta thought. I have to do something about it. I have to repay that kindness. I don't want them to go on suffering. Just the way you would not want anybody close to you here in this lifetime to suffer. And so we start to train by equalizing and exchanging. And we can do that in our sadhanas, but very much we can do it out in the street, wherever situations get difficult, or wherever we just want to send love out. This is a really active way of training our mind to change that bias, that painful bias that causes all the trouble on ourself, that isn't even existent in the way we see it. I guess that's the lunacy. So here we start to really work to change the focus on ourselves, and we exchange it to a focus on everybody else. And the method is equalizing and exchanging, and also the six paramitas. Patience, so we develop that along the path. Generosity. Discipline. And joyous effort. We really need that to keep us going on the path. Concentration that takes us away from all our distraction in samsara. Oh, it's a wonderful show out there, but really, you know, when we start to take away some of the layers and realize what's at the heart of samsara, we see suffering. So we use concentration to take our mind away from all that and develop meditation. that will recognize and ultimately realize the true nature of all phenomena and all beings. And the wonderful thing in the sadhana, as I said yesterday, is we actually practice all those six perfections at one go, doing the sadhana. So I hope that gives you some inspiration. Having trained my mind in the common path, in that way, even if I have to experience the sufferings of samsara for a long time, it will not upset me. However, by regarding sentient beings with extraordinary, unbearable compassion, please bless me to enter the path, the quick path of the Vajrayana teachings. By protecting my vows and samayas more than my life, may I quickly accomplish the unified Vajradhara state in one brief lifetime of this degenerate time. So here we bring the element of urgency into it. We've recognized all these beings as being connected to us, and that they are suffering, and that we have to do something urgently, something really big, you know, to change that. And the only way we can do that is first by abandoning our delusions, because while we're all working under delusions, then, you know, all our actions are biased by that, confused by that. And of course, to be the most effective, to give not just temporary relief, but everlasting relief, really, you know, freedom from the suffering, always, we do need enlightenment. That way, you know, we can be so much more effective to all beings. And it is a long path, but in the Vajrayana, it is a quick path. And on the path, while we're on the path, we can be really useful, you know, bodhisattva activities. Engaging in the bodhisattva activities as we travel on the path. May I not arise heresy even for a second with regard to the actions of the glorious guru? May I see whatever actions are done as pure, and with this devotion, may I receive the Guru's blessings in my heart. So really feel them pouring down through the crown of your head, all the teachers, the lineage masters, all the wonderful Dharma being channeled down to us, very precious, very rare that so many people don't have this opportunity. Magnificent and precious Root Guru, please abide on the lotus seat at my heart. Guide me with your great kindness and grant me the realizations of your holy body, speech, and mind. So now we'll just think about His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who encompasses all the gurus, whatever form, whether you feel particularly is your guru. All the gurus are one in an ultimate sense, manifesting in different forms, but connecting with His Holiness here because of the practice we're doing this weekend. Really feel strongly we've invited him into this room. He beams down on us, delight, so pleased to see us. Practicing. And he just dissolves into the crown of your head, which is open, receiving, and down to the heart chakra. Where he can reside in your heart, the essence of our guru. So we just sit with that for a few moments. And then we make a dedication. Due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings, without exception, into that enlightened state. And may the supreme jewel, Bodhicitta, that has not arisen, arise and grow. And may that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more. So in that way we seal the virtuous actions. And we've prepared ourselves going through the graduated path for the rest of the day. And we're a little bit early before breakfast. Is there any questions on or anything you want to ask or say at this point? Olia, sorry, I'm going to go on gallery. Sorry, my darling. Yes.
No worry. Dude, thank you so much. It was wonderful. When you were describing the methods, are these then the same methods that we were discussing yesterday, or these are different methods? I just wanted to make sure that I...
Okay. Are we talking, when we talk about the methods of equalizing and exchanging, or are we talking... Yesterday, we were really looking at the methods for developing compassion.
So the two Kriya methods, yes, that we were talking about.
Oh, okay. No, when I described the two methods of Kriya, yeah?
Yeah, so I just wanted to understand how these methods that we have gone through meditation now relate to those methods, if in any way.
Right. Okay. Are you talking about the Lam Rim meditation particularly that we've just done?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, the two methods in Kriya, Tantra that we talked about yesterday, the two main methods are concentration with the mantra and sound, aren't they? I believe that's right. And concentration without.
Yes.
Yeah. So here, what we're doing this weekend is the concentration with the mantra and sound. So how does the Lam Rim fit in with that? Okay. Concentration. It's developing the uh, You know, when we talked about the three trainings, I think here very much we're developing the concentration. But, you know, also, let's look at all those points. It's a good question. Thank you, Olia. We're also practicing all the six parameters. So when we do this meditation in the morning on the path, the graduated path, this is, you know, this is the groundwork, isn't it? You know, and we need to keep going on that path. I said yesterday that Lama Tsongkhapa practiced Tantra 50% of the day and he practiced Lam Rim the other 50%. Okay, so we need that Lam Rim meditation to be able to actually prepare us to go, you know, enter the Vajrayana, and also where it's placed is it's the absolute ground of all our Tantra practice, where it relates particularly, I would say, it's practicing all the six parameters in one, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. And also the concentration, because this is really where we start to train that concentration, which, you know, that moving away from samsara and, you know, dropping the distraction. So we really, really tune up. And I really think that is a big part of it. And of course, we develop the compassion side of it as well. You know, so, you know, especially because we're working with Chen Reizi, there are other deities in Kriya Tantra. And that's, you know, we said that each deity has a different aspect that we may want to work with. And there's many, many aspects to our minds. And so there's many, many deities. So I would say how it relates to the particular practice of the Buddha of Compassion, Chen Reizi, in this Kriya Yoga appearance, because he appears in different manifestations, is leading us towards that development of the Bodhisattva attitude, being, and the concentrate, you know, the concentration. And remember, you see, this is why Pabonka Rinpoche was so right when he said you practice all the six parameters. I think that's where it was really placed, because remember that there's also the six what they call the six deities, which are really the six concentrations that you involve in that mantra recitation and mantra visualization. Do you remember we talked about those yesterday? And they are, you know, emptiness, you know, and all those. Well, I think that's where we're working. Does that help?
Perfect. No, that absolutely yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. That's helped me work that out. Is there any other thoughts or questions? Craig, you look almost, I'll just go to Elizabeth first anyway. Elizabeth.
Yes, it's just about, you know, the pranayama breathing. Remember when we do the rib cage?
Yeah.
Correct me if I didn't get it today, but you did at some point, you know, we expand on the side, but I remember you doing another occasion that we breathe in one.
Yes, yes. Well, when you say, yeah.
And I did that today because it's something like you breathe in one lung, yeah. And then in the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got, and that's a very interesting exercise. Thank you very much. And it's not really a question. I just wanted to say, I can't remember, something slipped my mind, out my mind. But I felt warmth.
Yeah. Yes. Well.
Doing that exercise. And I just wanted to mention that breathing in the one lung and after the other lung, because for people who haven't done it before, it's
thank you.
Yes. It's something I really connect with.
Yes, that's lovely, because you're using the concentration very much. And when we used to do it in retreats, so that what Elizabeth's talking about, when we've had more time together doing pranayama, is that we actually then, when we're on our tummies especially, we actually direct the prana just to one area, maybe to the right lung, or then we can you know, refine it even more, just to the top part of the right lung or the bottom part of the right lung. And that's really interesting, and I'm glad you're enjoying that, because you can actually see a movement there after you've been doing it for a while, which is very rewarding, that your concentration and that opening and that just being able to control where the prana goes. It's great, isn't it?
I'm not at the stage at feeling it at the bottom or the top of the lung. I'll have to try that thing. But what I've forgotten, and it came back to me when you were talking, is, you know, when you say hold and enjoy that space.
Yeah.
I think I've experienced something like emptiness.
Well, you know, we get glimpses of it all the way along. And the Buddha said, when he was asked what is meditation, he said it's the space in between the breath. And I thought, that's nice. So,
and today it's the first time that I connected that moment.
Yeah, it's very important, that space. And of course, what we were saying, as I realised when we moved towards, you know, along the Tantra path, they do start to do the Bars breathing, which is holding the breath, and that's that space, you know. And if we can do that comfortably, if we're ready to do that comfortably, how wonderful.
You know? Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Did you want to say something, Craig, or are you just blissfully happy? You
look happy. Yeah, the latter. Yeah, it was lovely. Thank you. That's it's you can see how helpful that meditation, the Lam Rim meditation, it's on, and especially in the morning, you know, to really lay the foundation, your motivation to practice, you know, to really start to build that up, you know. So that's brilliant. Right. You can see doing that regularly would be very beneficial. Yeah.
You've got the point. That's fantastic. Olia, I think you've got something.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, in terms of the feeling of emptiness, just quickly, The closest feeling, if you know what you're saying, that the space in between the breaths is that gives us a glimpse of emptiness, of what emptiness is. And the close to that feeling that I had was when I went down the mine. So whenever you go down very deep under earth, in earth, so like in the mine. So once I happened to basically go to mine in Bolivia, and I was left there on my own for some time. And at that time, when I stayed there completely in the dark, in that earth, very deep, that's the closest that I could feel towards that. So it's, I think, yeah, that type of experience. I'm not asking everyone to go to the mine. If you want, I think that's why probably the cave is the most conducive environment. Yeah, because you're completely surrounded by, out of any sound, out of any senses other than, it sharpens your awareness very well, very much.
Wonderful, Olia. I've never heard the use of a mind, but, you know, what are you doing down there? You've got everything, you've cut off all of the distractions of samsara.
Exactly, it's perfect.
Yeah, and so, you know, we will get glimpses, but because we've still got the concepts, we're going to get what we call conceptual realizations along the way, but at points we will drop all the concepts, and that gives us the touch, the where we touch into and get a glimpse of emptiness. And we're, you know, I'm not going to go into, I'm going to let the Rinpoches teach you and the Geshes teach you on emptiness, and there's so much out there, but this is just something to help you get there. Very much the Lam Rim, solid, solid foundation. And, you know, the breathing and working with chi, you know, just to soften everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's about it. It's a good time to go for some breakfast and think about what we'll be doing. Enjoy your breakfast, and we'll see you back here at 10:30. Okay,
yes.
Lovely.
Okay, thank you. I'll leave the Zoom meeting on. So
we can just close off our videos, and I'll see you very soon.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Wendy.